This morning, let's open up our Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 21 to verse 28. So Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. What an amazing word. This morning, with God's grace, I'd like to talk shortly about persistence. The title of my message this morning is Persist Following Jesus. Persist Following Jesus. Considering the difficult times we're in right now, I would say that we truly need persistence. One thing that we can always expect when we go through difficult times is change. Circumstances change, habits change, life changes. On the weekends, we as a family used to go to Legoland and have fun. One night I was taking a walk with my daughter, and she asked me, "Dad, where are we going to?" And I'm like, "We're going nowhere. We're going back home." She was very sad. Life changed for us as a community. Life changed in our families. And in times like these, I would say what happens very often through this change is our values, the strength of our foundation gets tested. The artificiality on the surface gets scratched off, and we are challenged. Our true character is challenged. So people tend to become unstable. They tend to ask themselves all kinds of questions. Should I keep going to church, or is it maybe safer if I stay home? Should I still do that, or should I stop? This morning, I want to tell you to persist following Jesus. Persist following Jesus Christ. Going back to this message that I just read, we see the fact that Jesus left Israel and headed for Tyre and Sidon. He barely gets there and he's encountered by a woman who says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Now, I just cannot imagine that that woman was sitting somewhere on her balcony drinking a coffee, and then at a certain point she saw a group of people walking into the city and said, "Well, you know, let's check them out, let's see, maybe they can be helpful, or maybe, you know, they need some help or something." No, I think this woman was clearly waiting for Jesus to arrive in that city. She was waiting on Jesus, and we can see that on the way she approaches him. It's even more interesting than that. Listen to the words she says. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Now, if someone in that time said, Son of David, they meant something. They believed that he must be the Messiah. You wouldn't just call anyone, hey, Son of David. Now, they had some mixed notions about what the Messiah is really going to do, but that already said a lot, declaring someone, a carpenter from Nazareth, as the Son of David. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She waited for him. How do you wait on the Lord? I'm sure there are a lot of things you're going through, and I'm sure you wait for the Lord to respond to certain questions you have in your life, to certain problems you have in your life. My question is, how are you waiting on the Lord? How are you waiting on the Lord to respond to you? Sometimes we're so busy with our lives, and we have so many things to do, then we don't even notice that Jesus already passed through the city and he's gone. How are we waiting on the Lord? You're waiting for a response? How much do you read the scripture? Or do you really expect someone to show up in front of your door and tell you what you need to do? That doesn't happen very often, but you see, we have the scripture and God speaks through the scripture. How much time do you spend in prayer? If you're waiting on the Lord to respond to you. Looking at this woman, we see three levels of persistence. Three levels of persistence that she's going through here. And before I even get started, I want to tell you this is not the Jesus that we would usually expect in Scripture, the way he talks to her. And I personally believe that he did it on purpose, knowing the outcome, being the Son of God, being 100% human and 100% God, knowing the outcome, he wanted to teach his disciples and every Christian who reads the Bible a lesson. And that's why he even talked like that, because that's not how we usually know Jesus, okay? So I wanted to make sure I say that before I even get started, because it is a little tough how Jesus addresses this woman. Now let's see the first level. Persist although ignored. Persist although ignored. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. She's coming to the Messiah. She has a very real problem. And what does Jesus do here? But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Now my question is, does that sometimes happen in your life as a Christian? Do you have moments when you feel ignored? Do you have moments when you feel that God is silent towards you and you have a real problem? You know that he's God. You know that he's sovereign. You know that he's all-powerful. But somehow it happens that he's silent. That does happen in our lives as Christians. Jacob went through such a time. His sons came and said, "Your son, Joseph, is dead." And he was a prophet, but God decided to not tell Jacob a word about Joseph. And he went through this time for over 20 years. And then, after his sons come to him and say, "Oh, actually, your son is alive," Jesus, or God, comes and says to Jacob, "Jacob, Jacob." He answers, "Here I am." "I am God, the God of your father," he said. "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes." God just confirms again, your son is alive. And so we might ask, but God, why didn't you do it earlier? And we could come up with a lot of explanations. But sometimes we don't know, and it's difficult. My question is, what do you do when you feel ignored? What do you do when God is silent? People through Scripture went through times like this. We have so many examples. Job, David talks about that. My question is, what are we doing? Joseph is one of the amazing examples, Jacob's son, of what should be done. He keeps persisting. He keeps following the God he knows is real. And he doesn't give up. The woman, said, okay, so we have the disciples saying pretty much, tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all her begging, but she doesn't seem to go away. She's there. She keeps persisting. She keeps going along. She keeps asking. And so we get to the second level. Persist, although rejected. Persist, although rejected. In verse 24, we read, then Jesus said to the woman. So it seems like she didn't go away. She kept persisting. And now Jesus says, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. I was sent only for Israel. In other words, I am not here for you right now. Now, this is very, very difficult. I don't know if you've been through something like this as a Christian, where it was not just that you felt ignored, but you felt like God is here for someone else. You see that he does something, but he somehow rejects you. Here it gets very difficult as a Christian. I tried to think of an example of this, and what I pretty much came up with is, let's say, you know, how we come every Sunday morning to church, and we have our problems, and, you know, we come before God first and foremost, and before the community, and say, you know, please pray for me. Let's say two people come into this church, both of them have a very serious problem. 1 week later, one of them comes and gives a praise report and says, you know that Sunday morning that I came in and told you about my problem? God solved it. And you're the other guy. How do you feel? You know Jesus was there that morning. Don't you feel a little bit rejected? It happens. And you know that he's not rejecting you, but somehow you feel like that. My question is, what do you do in those moments? What do you do? Do you give it up? You say, you know what? I tried. He seems to have something against me. And some people then come up with stuff and say, you know, maybe my sin is too big for the Lord. Maybe he doesn't want to listen to me because what I did in the past. And they come up with all kinds of things and they just want to give up. Well, I want to tell you this morning, do not give up. Keep persisting. Look what this woman did. But she came and worshipped him. She came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. In other words, okay, I'm not from Israel. You didn't come for me, but I am here for you. If you don't want to see me as your daughter right now, I want to see you as my Lord. Don't give up just because you feel rejected. Don't give up just because you feel ignored. And then we get to the third level. Persist, although insulted. Now this is very difficult here. Verse 26, Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She got it. At this point, he was pretty much comparing her to a dog. Now, this is difficult. I didn't come up with an example for this because I just can't even imagine. What does she do? Most of the people, I think, at this point would have said, you know, maybe I did get to the wrong person. Maybe it's not the right place where I need to be right now. I came here with a real problem, knowing that this guy is really able to help. He ignores me, he rejects me, and now he insults me. What am I still doing here, right? But then she replied, "That's true, Lord." What? That's true, Lord? That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Okay, Lord. So I'm just like a dog then. But even then, in that position, I can benefit from your blessing. Even then, even a dog can be around his master. Even as a dog, I should be allowed to stay in your presence, to receive your blessing. This is just amazing when you think about it. This is faith. This is persistence. You don't want to give up, no matter what. And so Jesus says, "Dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted." Now we know that Jesus we serve, is not a Jesus who ignores us. He cares about us. He cares about us so, so much. It's not a Jesus who rejects us. No, he actually came towards us. He died for us. He's not a God who insults us. He loves us so much, he gave his life for us. I know that people can disappoint you in your life. You might have high expectations from certain people, and people sometimes disappoint you, and they do ignore you, they do reject you, they do insult you. But as a Christian, you need to persist. You need to persist in prayer. You need to persist in following Jesus. And now, let me get a little practical. And I actually realize I passed my 15 minutes. Okay, so I don't know what's going to happen in the near future. We've been through some pretty difficult times, I would say, and in the beginning, things seemed to be pretty reasonable. Now, we see a lot of things that are not very reasonable, and it's just a little difficult. It's a little difficult. And as a Christian, you pretty much get pretty desperate, because you want to go back to the life as you used to have it, and then you don't have it, and it's bad. What I want to encourage you guys is just because life changes, don't get desperate in trying to change things you cannot change by forgetting the opportunity you have to do things that you are able to do. Ask yourself, maybe God wants to teach me a lesson in this time. Maybe God wants me to focus on something special. Don't keep fighting for something that you can't really get back at the moment. Don't keep fighting and say, you know, I don't care about all the rules. I don't care about all this stuff. I just want to go my way. I want to go and do whatever, you know. Just don't keep my distance. Don't do anything. Just don't care, you know. No, your life as a Christian is not over just because you cannot meet as you used to Sunday mornings. Or your life as a Christian is not over just because you cannot do certain ministries that you used to. Open your eyes and see that you can still follow Jesus in an amazing way. You can still do a lot for God and for Christ. And the youth got this. The youth, they got it because they did something. What do you do as an individual? What do you do with your family? Is your relationship growing in this time? Because that's what's supposed to happen. Maybe that's what God wants to. Maybe He wants to put your focus back where it needs to be, in your family, and not you just in a gathering, which is good. But there is a lot of other things that are good and that need to be happening in the life of a Christian. What happens with that part? Maybe we left that part behind, and maybe God wants to teach us a lesson, and He wants to tell us, hey, focus on that part. Focus on those people around you, because I care about them. How much do you care about them? How much do you care about your family? How much do you care about unity? Because as a nation, we haven't proved anything. As a nation, we went through riots and all kinds of stuff like that in the past few weeks. What do we do as a church? Do we grow in unity in times like this? What do we do as a family? Do we grow in unity as a family? Does the love within, the Christ's love within our family grow in times like this? Or we just are devastated and sad every day and just think, man, I can't change anything about this. I want things to go back where they were. I pray to the Lord that He opens our eyes and that we understand that although things have changed here on our Sunday meetings, that doesn't mean that our heart needs to change. The passion we have for the Lord doesn't need to change. We need to have the same passion for the Lord. We need to pursue God in the same way we used to. May God help us. Amen.